So, good to see everybody tonight. We got a lot of people out, and hope they're able to watch by live stream tonight. We had a good service today. I was coming to the service today I was about 90%. You know, when you're always getting over something. Always when you're getting over something, you sound worse than it feels, you know. And so I figured you come to church, and I heard about got calls about everybody that was sick, and I said, okay, we'll just try to make it through. And God showed up, amen. And,
amen, praise the Lord.
And it was some good conversions, and we just need to give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
And so, praise the Lord for that. In Sunday school, Arnold told us that when he found Wendy's ring, and now she's got tape on it so it won't fall off. Arnold wants her to put a string on her wrist, you know, and all that. But anybody else have a praise before we get into the word tonight? Yes.
I thank God for this church. I love the spirit of this church. You know, when we have visitors come here, we don't have to worry about them getting run off or get the cold shoulder. You just get love in Jesus Christ. So I'm really thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I got the cold shoulder for the first 6 months I was here. No, not real. Amen. Who else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, let's. I want to look into the Word tonight. It's more of practical teaching tonight. I'll talk about soul winning tonight during the invitation and at the altar. So if you want to get your pencils out, pens out, I want to give you some things to think about, because we really need this early this year to brush up on these things and be ready to help folks receive Christ. And we need to develop a team of personal workers during the invitation that are ready to be here. And we've got so much to work on, but this is an important thing. If we had 10 people come forward, we'd be in a fix, maybe. I don't know. But we're going to share this often. But dealing with people during the invitation. Proverbs 11:30 says this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise."
Amen.
Psalm 143 and verse 8: "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Now, being a soul winner in the invitation time is different, and during the church time is different than going out and knocking on doors. My wife was talking on the way home tonight or today, and my wife was talking about a lady. And she was talking about the Sunday school lesson. I guess she gave this illustration in the Sunday school lesson about detours. She didn't want to go. She really didn't feel like going to visitation that night. She got the visitation. They gave her a card. And her and her partner went and knocked on the door. And the lady didn't really want to talk. And she said, "Well, before I leave, let me ask you, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" And out of her mouth came the news that she'd heard that she had breast cancer. And Miss Creed had just been to the same examination, and they found a lump. And so they let her in, and they let her in. She was able to lead them to Christ. And so we don't know who we're witnessing to out there when we knock on doors. But when they're here at invitation, they have been through a message. And we pray that the message has been plainly preached. And every message should include several things. Number one, the Bible's the Word of God. Jesus is God. And they should realize that they should have the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. So they should know have a plain plan of salvation given to them. And the book of the Bible's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about Him coming to save us. And that's the main goal. That's the main subject of the Word of God. So when we witness to people during the invitation, I want you to think about, first of all, witnessing to them during the invitation. That means they haven't come forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in conscience, in consciences." Now, what are we talking about? What are we talking about witnessing to people? Paul, they didn't give an invitation, but Paul went into the synagogue, it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Acts 18 and verse 4. One of the best times to win somebody to Christ is during the invitation. This is a very, very delicate thing. Let me give you this thought. Who should do it? Who should attempt to lead somebody to Christ during the invitation? Well, only those who are living a Christian life that's pleasing to God. Number two, the person needs to be burdened. Number three, those who are already witnesses. You know, it's pretty hypocritical not to witness outside and to come witness inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
And so when we come in, and then men should deal with men and women should deal with women.
Amen.
Are you there? Okay, I just wondered.
Amen.
At least grunt. So who should do it? When should we do it? Well, when heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me get you to understand this and think about this. When there is a sense that they are under conviction.
Amen.
When you can reach them without making a scene. You understand? When you're sure the Holy Spirit has given you the green light. Now, I say those things because I rarely do this. But there are times when you can see somebody is under conviction. And a lot of people are afraid to walk forward, right? That's why I have them look at me when their heads are bowed and eyes closed and they ask them to come forward then, because it's easier. I do that when I preach out. A lot of preachers said, "Man, I've never seen that before." I said, "Well, now you have." But I'm not trying to trick anybody into anything. Let me just say this. I know people whose spouse will not come to church or go back to a church because they were in a church and people jumped on them but embarrassed them during the invitation and pushed them. No means no. That means no. Okay? And so how do I do it? Quietly? And tap them lightly on the shoulder, whisper. Now, you understand what a whisper is. You ever heard a kid trying to whisper and you can hear him in the whole room? That's not a whisper. Huh? That's not a whisper. And so, what do you say? Well, you introduce yourself and you're polite. You're gently a polite. You say something like this: "John, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior today? I'd be happy to sit down here and show you, or we can walk forward. Can I help you with that?" And whatever the answer is, that's whether you stop or move on. Don't, here's some don'ts. Don't nag them about going forward. Don't get them, don't give the impression that coming forward is being saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I spoke to a lot of people that think because they went forward in the church, they were saved. Mm. Huh? That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay? Don't make a scene. Don't embarrass anybody. Okay? Don't go to small children. Okay? Let God move in their hearts. And it's not that they don't matter. It's just this is a sort of an adult thing. Now, let me just say, I'm saying that this is a situation where you know, and you may have brought a visitor with you that you know they're under conviction and you can talk to them. Okay? But rarely do I ever do this. Rarely do I ever do this. If I've done this once, that's it. But there are times that you can see people are under conviction. Okay? And you help people. As I said in Brother Steve's church in the Dominican Republic, if they raise their hand that they're not saved, people walk up to them, tap them on the shoulder, and go like this. And I mean, that's just their culture. Mm-hmm. But that's the way they do that. It wouldn't work here. Wouldn't work here. First of all, because some people come into this church and they get in this church and they've never heard or seen what we do.
That's true.
You do understand that. People don't, what we preach this morning is rare out there. I'm not saying we're better than them. I'm just saying we preach the Bible.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of them are used to a lot of statues and all this stuff. You know, we independent Baptists, we don't build churches for scenery. We build churches for functionality. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we want to function there. And I share that because sometimes you may. How many of you have ever seen anybody sitting there in church during the invitation you saw that thought they were under conviction? Anybody ever seen that? Yeah, and so the Holy Spirit's got to speak to you. Now, here's something I really want to get to you tonight. I want to give you some things, and this is what I really want everybody here to really absorb, write down, and get in your minds. Number two, how to win souls at the altar. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31 says this, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, be ready. Be ready. Invitation is not the time to sleep. Mm-hmm. If you're a person that can win people to the Lord, know how to win people to the Lord. Okay? And I'm going to help you with that tonight. You need to be ready. We need more people ready other than my wife and Chris and Dawn. And, you know, we don't know when people are going to be here. We don't know what the venue is going to be. We don't know if the kids are going to be out there and we're going to be in here. So we need people ready to share people, share the gospel. Be ready. Be prayed up. Be seated near the front at the end of the pew and watch the pastor. Okay? When heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and you're a person that's able to win people to Christ, when the invitation starts and we have heads bowed and eyes closed, that means you look because you need to be ready for me to say, come up here. Okay? And so that's important, right?
Amen.
I don't need to say, Darian, report to the altar, please. Darian, report to the altar. You know? We just need to be able to say, you know, come on up and help us with this. Now, number two under this, introduce yourself to the seeker, the person that's seeking. Introduce yourself to them. And most of the times I'll walk out and I'll say, Rebecca, this is my wife, Pam, and she's going to show you how to be saved from the Word of God. Okay? That's how we do it. But you can introduce yourself and say to them, man, I'm glad you've come. You need to, you go to sometimes to an office or to the motor vehicles or you go somewhere, Social Security office or something, it's cold. You're just a number.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get, they don't care whether they offend you or whatever they do. They don't care whether you come or you leave. They don't care whether they help you or not. They just don't really don't care. This is the, that's where we, in church, we're glad. We're excited that they've come. And then number three, have a testament or Bible ready. Let me give you something to write down with that. Have a marked testament or marked Bible. Okay? It's important that you have the Bible ready and you know where you're going to go. Now we're going to give you, I'm going to give you some verses tonight that you need to use at the altar. They know they're sinners. Okay? Okay, they know they're on their way to hell. You just need to review that with them, make sure they understand. Number four, be conscious of your breath. Okay? Personal hygiene of the pie hole. Okay? Make sure your breath is okay, and that, you know, you're going to have to get a breath mint. Okay? Number three. Go over the plan of salvation with them briefly. Now, here's you know, I'm not saying hurry. I'm saying briefly. Okay? You don't have to speak fast to fill two minutes. Okay? Number one, the question is, do you realize you're a sinner? Do you realize you're a sinner? Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, and then Romans 5:12. You're a sinner? You were born a sinner. Boom. Okay? You understand that? Okay? Number two, do you understand you're condemned? Okay? Do you understand you're condemned and to be lost and die forever? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. You have to have that marked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I when I sit down, I get to that point now. Now, I'm not giving the same thing I give when I knock on a door and sit down with somebody for the first time. They've already been through a message. The Word of God and Holy Spirit is convicting them. They know they're a sinner. Because of that sin, you're condemned. And here's what I say. I read that verse, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If it's a second, what does there have to be? And usually, most people will say, yes, there has to be a first. Okay, the first death is physical. This is talking about spiritual death. Death for eternity. Okay? Then the wages of sin is death. Number three, Christ died for you on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And I read Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner, condemned, Christ died for you on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And then I read Romans 6:23 again. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Now, when I finish with that, I go to Romans 10:13, 10, 9, and 10, and 13. Okay? Now, it helps you in your Bible to highlight important words. Okay? Are you with me? What's the important words in Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, wages, death, gift, eternal life in Jesus Christ. I put it in my pocket. I was sitting there using it before. Here it is. Wrong pocket. This is a highlighter. It's a Sharpie gel. If you write in your Bible with ink or anything like that, over a period of time, it'll bleed. So, just this is beside the point. I write in my Bible with red lead pens or blue red lead pens or lead pencil or this. It doesn't bleed. Okay? That's a freebie. But this is gel. This is a Sharpie gel. And that highlights just fine. So you highlight those functional words. When you're going through it, their eye goes to that highlight. You understand what I'm saying? So when you get to Romans 10, 9, and 10, put that up for us. Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy what? Okay, you highlight that. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's an important thing to underline. Thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Heart believeth, and with the mouth confession. Mouth, word mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now in verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call. So you've taught them that they're a sinner. Are you with me? You've taught them that they're condemned. You've taught them that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Now these verses tie together because they say in verse 9, go back to 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. There's two things there. You confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart. So I asked them, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day? Okay? And then I go to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What God's saying is, hey, if you believe on me, call on me to receive. And the way you call is you pray. Okay? Now, at that point, I say this. Now, I'm going to help you with a prayer. But this is sort of a guideline. And this prayer is going to, you're going to tell God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I'm condemned and I know you died on the cross for me. Come into my heart and save me. And so it's simple. Okay? But you have to go slow. You can't be in a hurry. So when I pray, I say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and because of that sin, I'm condemned. You guys hear this on the podcast every day, right? You listen. Yeah, yeah, you don't turn me off, do you? And so I asked them to pray, but I make sure I said, this prayer, it's not, you're not repeating a prayer. You're praying to God yourself. I've already done this. I'm helping you as God's led me to help you. And you need to call on him as a sinner. And I've had people say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on the cross for me and was buried and rose again. Come save me, please. Amen. And that works. Amen.
Amen.
And so I've had all kinds of people. They prayed all kinds of things. But in the same guide, with the same guidelines. Okay? Now, the moment they say amen. The moment they say amen, I take them to verse 13 again. And I say, okay, now look at this, John. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and be in church every time the doors open and read their Bible every day shall be saved. Is that what it says? No. And I do that a couple times. Why? Because it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call on the name of the Lord? Believing? Yes. Then what does the Bible say? Don't ever find yourself saying, oh, you're saved. A pastor said I'm safe. That doesn't make you saved. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we be very cognizant of what words we're using and what they mean and how they come out. Simple is always best. Okay? I use simple because I'm simple. That's it. And you've taken them in. They prayed. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Okay? Now you prepare them to come back into the service. And you say, look, we're going to go back into the room and the church, and we're going to sit on the front row. Pastor Creed's going to ask you to stand, and he's going to ask you, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and do you want to live for him? Now, you say, why don't you deal with them on baptism? I don't deal with them on baptism right then.
Mm-mm.
Why? Well, number one, a lot of people have been baptized as a child. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have been baptized in another church. Okay? So when you teach them to be baptized, you have to teach them why, when, where, and who. And you know, that you have to teach them that. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be ready to share the gospel. How many of you think you're ready to do that at the altar? Arnold, you ready? Amen. Amen. God, I believe in my heart that God is going to give us many souls during the 2022 year.
Amen.
I really do. I believe God's going to send us people that are already saved. I believe God's going to send us hurting people. And we need to be ready. And there's some other things I want to share with y'all concerning dealing with folks at the altar. Do some special times. But the main thing is to be able to share Christ with them. We had two people that were ready. And Maxwell and Rebecca got saved today. Now, you think of a team effort.
Amen.
Darian invited. I preached. Pam and Chris talked to them. Everybody in church made them feel welcome today.
Amen.
But by the glory of God, God saved them.
Amen.
That's praise
right.
The Lord. Amen.
God
Amen.
Saved them. And so we just had a part to. We just were witnesses and had a part. God, let us have a little bit of part of that. Amen.
Amen.
And let us share in that. Any questions? Any questions? Yes.
So, they get saved. How do you try to encourage them to come to church on a regular basis, tactfully?
Yeah.
Text, email, letter, phone calls,
prayer.
You think about this. How many? you go on Twitter. You go on anything. People will say, well, we had 10 saved and 7 baptized. Okay? And they'll say that every week for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you visit their church, you'd think they'd have 5,000. Why is it? Well, first of all, number one, the person that leads them to Christ or brings them needs to encourage them. And we as a church need to encourage them. Number two, we have to get to them and start discipling them. And that's the thing we've got to work on, because, you know, people look at me in this church sometimes when I say you need to be in church every time the door's open, like I'm a nut. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, preacher, I got things to do. Who said we need to be? Who said we need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Well, let me just tell you something. If I'm part of a church and my church is having service, I believe God wants me to be there. And if I stand Amen. Before him at the Bema seat, and I'm not faithful to church. You know, well, preacher, I'm not faithful to church because I don't like your preaching. Well, go to another church. Find another church. You know, you say, preacher, do you get mad when people come and they attend when a special speaker's here? No, it's a different voice. No skin off my teeth. I'm going to love them whether they, whatever they, wherever they are, whenever they come. You know, you say, they come to hear the special speaker, but they don't show up on Sunday. Well, that's between them and God.
Right.
Okay? So I wouldn't have their shoes for their socks on that subject when they stand before Jesus, right? But how do you get a person to understand? What made you be faithful to church? You know, we often ask ourselves, how do we get people to come to church? Well, why did you come to church? Well, I believe if people come to church, and Sharita told us this when she first came. She said, I didn't know there was a church like this. Right? She said, I didn't know there was a handsome preacher and a church like this. No, she just said, I didn't know there was a church like this. And really, I just sit there in my, people make comments in church, and inside I'm doing all kinds of different somersaults and everything, but I'm thinking, really? Are we so different?
Yes.
I mean, this is what I know as church. I'm not one of these guys that sets a order of service. I came in here the first time we had an order service on the bulletin. Remember that, Arnold? I told my wife, I said, we got to get this away from this. This is Protestant, man. So we have disorder of service now. But anyhow, we have that's what they've been doing for years, haven't they, Wendy? And I'm not one to do that. I don't know. If I'm just going to stop and let the ladies go to a different room and pray because we need to pray as a church, God impressed me to do that. I don't know what we're going to do. And I don't want to schedule God out of the service.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? But when people show up to this church, you know, when they get saved, what made you keep coming? Well, Wendy started coming to church because her mama brought her, right? I went to church. I was a pastor's kid. Where was I when the church was open? I was in church. Mm-hmm. You know? And so forth. So, it's only God that can save them, and it's only God that can put in their heart to be faithful to church. And you've got to ask God to use you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not, it's amazing. We get outside the door of the church and we become so impersonal. Your brother Carnes, Bill Carnes, he's with the Lord. I preached in his church one Sunday night down there in Calvert County. And he said, come on. I said, where are we going? He said, hey, we go, the whole church goes to Taco Bell after church. I mean, everybody shows up there and everybody's eating their fellowship and just having a ball like it's normal. You know, what's wrong with inviting a person to dinner and, you know, discipleship and fellowship are pretty closely linked. And so, you know, with Rebecca and Maxwell and Rush and Mr. Smith, they know there's a kind atmosphere here. They know nobody bites. It's just you've got to stay on people. And you can't say, well, they stopped coming or they're not coming because they really didn't get saved. That's not true. You know, that's all they know. There's a lot of people win namers and claimers, they win people to Christ and they don't even try to go back and get them to come to church. I mean, you've got to stay in touch with them. Hey, praying for you. Is there anything I can pray about? Like to see you in church. You know, I don't know if Miss Smith is saved or not. Oh. you know, there's somebody that needs to be saved. Mm-hmm. You know, so we, you know, we just gotta. That's a difficult thing. I mean, you lead somebody to Christ and you say, well, they'll never come back again, and they're there for 50 years. Lead somebody else to Christ and they're really tuned in everything and just, you know, difficult. The next step is trying to get them to understand they need to be baptized. Mm-hmm. See? And so, any other questions? Well, I know there's a lot of things that go on, but it sure is fun dealing with people. You just never know who you're going to meet, mm-hmm. what their family's all about, and gives you stories. I mean, Miss Creed led this lady to the Lord. Her name was Miss Angel. And she just died a year or so ago, but in Morningside, Maryland, we knocked on her door. My wife was my partner. And I said, this is Miss Angel. Why don't you talk to her, Pam? She said, okay. And she led her to the Lord. It was sweet. She bowed her head and asked the Lord, faithful to church. Patricia that got saved at the door that had cancer, faithful to church, got baptized. It's just you've got to create a culture of winning and teaching and seeing them baptized and you know. There are certainly other places out there that make people commit to all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the gospel. And they commit. And there's nothing to what they're hearing at church. There's no salvation. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no Bible. And we have the real stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. And we thank you for the opportunity to share with people. I thank you for the folks that are here tonight and attentive with a desire to see souls saved. Now we pray that you bless the invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand. If God spoke to you in any way, maybe there's somebody on your heart you're praying to see saved or discipled. God spoke to you. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you're... It's easy to get a little hardness in our heart, isn't it? It's easy to get distant. They come to a service like this morning, somebody gets saved. And man, you just, the excitement. And there's people we need to invite to the Lord and people we need to invite to church. And just trust the Lord to save them. We don't save anybody. And we need to be in the place that we can encourage people after they're saved to be what they need to be for the Lord. Seated. Let's receive offering real quick. We just need one person with a plate. Let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are. Are we still alive? Are we still alive, Chris?
Check the pulse.